Tonight, telling all that Jesus has done. Amen. Each and every one of us, if we took the time to really just stop and take an account of our lives and to think of what the Lord has done, we would realize how blessed we really are. Turn in your Bibles with us tonight into 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. That'll be our jumping on spot. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, "And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your great love. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we could stand and talk about you and tell about you, and we could never begin to comprehend just how much you love us and how much you care for us. But help us tonight, Lord, as we look to your word for a few moments to see how we might honor you with our lives. We might testify of you in our lives. And our lives might be surrendered and submitted unto you in all that we do. Now, Lord, we desire, Father, to uplift Jesus tonight, to uplift you and to glorify you. Help us to do that by your Spirit. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. I want to preach to you tonight on just a few things, some lessons from the life of Solomon that I think it's important that we all grasp and that we all ponder as we look at the life of Solomon. You know, we often think about Solomon and we talk so much about all his wisdom and all his splendor. You read the book of Proverbs, and most of the book of Proverbs are Proverbs that were written and gathered by Solomon to include in the book so that he could instruct young people. And we think of how wise and how smart he is, and we think of his splendor and his riches and his glory, but we also need to look at the other side of Solomon as well, the things that brought his downfall. The very things that made Solomon so great were the things that brought Solomon down as well, because they were applied and used the wrong way. The Bible tells us here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, about the birth of Samuel, and it was ironic as you look down and you see that David named him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Amen. The Lord loved him from the very beginning. I'm glad that God loved each and every one of us. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm glad tonight that we're loved. I'm glad tonight that God chose Solomon to be a special individual. And he even changed his name to Jedidiah. God had that special name for him. You know, I think a lot of you all around here are special. And I've got special names for you. Amen. I've got a little sister. I've got a little bit. I've got a little trouble. Amen. I've got Pamela Lena. She don't like me to say that a whole lot. I'm the only one I could probably get away with saying that. I call her Pamela Lena. Amen. I've got names for a lot of you, and I nickname you. I love you, and I care about you, and you're dear, and you're precious to my heart. And, you know, you're like my own kids, and even the old ones are just like my own kids. You're my own family, and, you know, I've got names for them. Somebody come and asked me the other day. I sold some goats, and a lady come yesterday. She said, "Do you got names for them all?" I said, "No, they're just goats." Amen. But praise God, you're sheep. Amen. I got names for you because you're sheep, but I love you. But God loved him, and he gave him a special name, special to him. And not only did God just love him and give him a special name, but God chose Solomon regardless of where he comes from. You know, Solomon teaches us one thing: irregardless of where we come from, irregardless of what our past has been, irregardless of what our heritage is, God can use us, amen? And God will choose to use us. And God has chosen each and every one of us. You know, he chose to come and die for us, amen? He chose to give his life for you. He chose to give his life for you over here and for you over here and you back there and you back there. God loved you enough that he chose you to die for you, amen? He chose Solomon in a special way, irregardless that, you know, when you go back, and if you know the history, and most of you know the history of David and Bathsheba, it was an adulterous relationship. It resulted in the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's first husband, so that David could be with Bathsheba. It cost the life of a child. Amen. The first child that they had conceived together in their sin was taken from them. But irregardless of all that, when Solomon was born, God chose him. God not only loved him, but he chose him for a very special purpose. He chose him to be the one that would build the temple. David wanted to build the temple. He wanted to build a house unto God. God said, no, you're not going to do it. He said, I'm going to let your son Solomon do it. God chose Solomon. David had all kinds of sons. David had a whole slew of sons. As a matter of fact, Solomon was the youngest of David's sons, from what I understand. From what I've read, he wasn't the one that should be given great honor. As a matter of fact, Solomon was the one who was chosen to be David's successor as king. It's inexplicable. Nobody can figure out why God chose Solomon instead of one of David's other sons. But God knows. But it just goes to show you, it don't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter what your story is and what your heritage is and what the people can say about you. God can use you, and he wants to use you. But praise God, we got to submit ourselves unto him and let him use us. Put ourselves in a place where we can be used. God uses the base things, he says. And sometimes he takes the basis of people. Remember last week when we was talking about D.L. Moody? And how the Sunday school teacher that taught D.L. Moody said that young man had the darkest outlook, the darkest soul of anybody he had ever taught. But look at what God done with D.L. Moody. Look at what God used him for and how God has used him. Sister Mary showed me her postcard after service, and I knew this, but I was just focusing on those two things right there, but how this one individual, this Sunday school teacher that taught D.L. Moody, was instrumental in seeing a man get saved that was probably one of the most prominent Christians that you've ever heard of. Matter of fact, he just died. You got it there? Edward Kimball won a shoe clerk named D.L. Moody to Jesus. Moody traveled to England and awakened the heart of a young pastor, F.B. Meyer. Meyer became one of the great Bible expositors, came to the USA, and was used to convert a student to Christ named Wilbur Chapman. Chapman attended one of Moody's meetings and became D.L. Moody's co-worker. Chapman employed ex-baseball player Billy Sunday as his assistant. Sunday became a great evangelist and preached in Charlotte, North Carolina after being invited by the Billy Sunday Layman's Evangelistic Club. The club invited evangelist Mordecai Ham to Charlotte. Ham preached in the tent meeting where Billy Graham was saved. Isn't it amazing how God can take people that other people would holy. Kimball said of Moody, he had one of the darkest hearts, the darkest young men that he'd ever known, and used him. And because he was used of God, his ministry was instrumental in seeing a young man by the name of Billy Graham get saved and become one of the most prominent preachers in America, one of the most prominent preachers of our day. We've heard of him, and he just died recently. It's amazing what God can do. And God uses what other people would never expect to be used. Solomon is a lesson learned, a lesson that young people need to take heed to and should pay attention to. That it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter which side of the railroad tracks. It doesn't matter who your parents were, who your parents are. It doesn't matter what you've done. God can use you. And God wants to use you. Turn into 2 Chronicles in chapter number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. Solomon's life teaches us that prayer can change your life. Prayer can change your life. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, verses 10 to 12, Solomon is praying and he's beseeching God. He says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, and honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." You know, maybe if we really believed one prayer could change our life, we would give more consideration to the things that we pray for. Maybe if we really believed that God heard and answered our prayers, we would give more consideration to the time that we spend in prayer. Maybe if we believed that God could change and transform a life because of prayer, we would spend more time praying for the lives of those that we love and care for. Solomon is a lesson learned that prayer does change lives. It can change your life. It can change the life of your family, your friends, your loved ones, those that you care about. Amen. Isn't it amazing what prayer can do? Isn't it amazing that Brother Jeff Haggard just blew our theology out of the water when he was here the last time? Because we all talk about there's power in prayer. There's no power in prayer. There's power in the one that we're praying to. Amen. But because we're praying to the one that has power, we can see things done. Amen? We can see things accomplished. Turn in your Bibles with us into 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. We want to look at something else here real quick. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all the men, than Ethan the Ezrathite, and Hermon, and Charcol, and Dardra, and the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake of also of the beast and the fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." Then turn into 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 24. The Bible says, "And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." Solomon teaches us something that is very important. True wisdom glorifies God. True wisdom comes from God. In James 1:5, the Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally." You can have wisdom like Solomon had wisdom from God if you ask for it, if you seek it, if you desire it, if you want it. It can be yours. But true wisdom is that which exemplifies God. True wisdom could be summed up maybe this way. It is the ability to make good life decisions. Some people make bad choices. Some people, and the thing, the sad thing about it is we live in a society today that makes excuses for people's bad choices. Amen? We want to put labels on things, and I know everybody here, every family in here, somewhere in your family, might not be in your immediate family, but in your extended family, has somebody that's dealing with an addiction right now. Amen? It's not a disease, friends. Young people, let me tell you something, that they've labeled it a disease. It's not a disease. It's a bad choice. It's a bad choice. Alcoholism is not a disease. It was never a disease and was never classified a disease until about 35, 40 years ago, and politicians figured out some way that they could enrich themselves from claiming it's a disease, and that's the only reason politicians do most things is to enrich themselves. You don't believe that? Why do most of them have to borrow money to get elected into office but leave office enriched? They leave wealthy. It's not a disease. It's poor life choices. Amen? People go gamble their money away. It's not a disease. It's a poor life choice. Amen? People work themselves to death and they work to make every dollar they can make and they forsake God. It's a poor life choice. True wisdom is that which honors God. Amen? God gave Solomon wisdom, and Solomon had the wisdom, and all the world knew that the wisdom that Solomon had, it says there in 1 Kings chapter 10, which God had put in his heart, and good life decisions are those that honor God, that honor His Word. Good life decisions are those that do the things that are pleasing unto God. Good life decisions are those things that through the wisdom that God imparts to us, we do that give God the glory and honor with our lives. Amen? And Solomon shows that in so much of his life, in so much of the things that he's done. But Solomon shows us that with great success comes the need for great care. Amen? You know, everybody wants to hit the mega ball or the mega millions or the mega jackpot, whatever it is. Everybody's looking to get rich. Man, they're out, Powerball's up to $400 or $500 million, and people were mortgaging their house to go buy tickets hoping to hit the power. I know people that have done it. People who have went and took out loans to buy tickets trying to get rich. But do you realize that most people who have hit those mega jackpots and have got rich within six years, are worse off than they were before they ever had all that riches? Proven fact. It's a proven fact that this isn't just something that, you know, old preacher's telling us because he don't want me to buy lottery tickets and blah, blah, blah. It's a fact. 99.9% of the people who hit all these big jackpots in the lottery in 6 years are worse off than they were before they won the lottery. Proven fact. Why is that? Because they don't know how to handle success. They don't know how to handle all this that's come to them. And they go out and they buy all this stuff. They buy these big houses. They buy this big property. They spend their millions like it's going out of style. And they keep spending and spending and spending. But they fail to realize that all these million-dollar properties they have hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxes assessed to them. They buy all this big property, but then they can't afford to even pay the taxes because they only got rich one time. They only hit the mega ball one time. And now they can't afford to pay for the stuff that they bought. And they start losing it a little at a time. Within 6 years, they're generally back in a worse shape than where they were when they started. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, the Bible says, "And King Solomon passed all kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart." In 1 Kings 11, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh and the abomination of Moab, and in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon." Solomon didn't handle all this prosperity very well his whole life. You see, he had great riches. And if you go read the book of Ecclesiastes, it starts out with this very simple phrase, "Vanity of vanities." And what he means by that, it all might look good, but it means nothing. Amen? It all might sound good, but it means nothing. As he concludes the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." And what we need to do is to seek out God and to honor him. See, Solomon said, "There wasn't nothing that I wanted that I held back from myself. Nothing my eyes desired, nothing that my heart yearned and longed for that I held myself back from. And in the end, when I took and surveyed it all, I realized that it was all vain. It was all meaningless because I was going to meet my Maker. I was going to meet my God. I was going to meet the one who had given it all to me. And sadly, I was going to meet the one whom I had forsaken for all the things that I chased after, all the things that I sought for." Solomon was so rich, the Bible says, that silver was counted as nothing in his day. Solomon was so rich that you read of the things that he had, they didn't touch anything that wasn't made out of gold. Solomon was so rich that when he wanted things, he bought them in multitude. He had stables to hold thousands of horses and chariots. He had houses that were beyond compare. He spent money like it was water because God had blessed him so immensely. But sadly, Solomon let his character slip. With great riches, a great character is going to be required. Sometimes you wonder why God doesn't let you have things. Maybe it's because God knows you don't have the character to handle it and deal with it. Man, I wish I could play a guitar like Greg Pell. But perhaps God knows I don't have the character. I always said when I retire, I'm going to get up, I'm going to practice every morning, I'm going to learn to play like that. Well, you know what happened? I retired, I got arthritis so bad, I can hardly move my fingers some days. My fingers feel like they're this big around. Why do you suppose that is? Maybe God knows I don't have the character to be that talented, to be able to do that. With great blessings, great riches, great wisdom, great knowledge, great ability comes great responsibility. And responsibility takes great character. to be able to deal with. And Solomon shows us. Solomon is a prime example of how God can love us so much and bless us so immensely that we let our character slip. What did Paul write to the Romans over in Romans chapter 1? They began to worship the creation more than the Creator. We let our guard down and we began to worship in things more than we do the God who gave the things. In 1 Kings chapter 11, young people, all of you young people, look up here a minute. All of you, look up here a minute. The young people have heard this time and again in youth group. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. We've heard that from a young man that preaches to the young people in youth group. I've told you for years, I don't care whether you're young or whether you're old, but young people, heed this well. You will rise or you will sink to the level of the people that you choose to surround yourself with. Look at this. 1 Kings chapter 11. Here's the man that had everything. Here's the man that had it all. Solomon. The man that God had chosen. The young man, the child that God had loved. The young man that had a special place in God's heart. And look at this, 1 Kings chapter 11. Verse number 1, we'll start. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You'll rise or fall to the level of the people that you choose to surround yourself with. Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Young people, did you get that? God said you need to be separate, and you need to separate yourself from the world. Amen? But Solomon didn't do that. The wisest man in the world didn't have enough wisdom to heed the very word of God. Do you think God put all that stuff in his word for no reason whatsoever? Are you sure that God didn't have you in mind when he penned these things in his word, when he said, come out from among them and be ye separate? When God said, be a peculiar people, a different people, when God said not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, that don't just mean in marriage. That means in our relationships. Amen? But Solomon clave unto these in love. The wisest man, are you smart enough to do what Solomon let slip away from him? See, moms and dads start hanging around the wrong people at work. Amen. This isn't just for young people, mom and dad. Solomon was an older man. Start hanging around with the wrong people at work, and before long, some silver-tongued devil's done got mom slipping out at lunchtime. Some eye-batting beauty has got dad sneaking around in secret. And before you know it, a home has been destroyed. Before you know it, a testimony has been torn down Before you know it, a life has been destroyed. Solomon clave unto these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. He was blessed of God. He was chosen by God. He was aware of the teaching of God, the precepts of God, everything that God had said. Yet he was not immune from the influence of those whom he chose to surround himself with. He fell from the place of honor with God to a place of disgrace before God. Amen. And it's easy. It can happen to any one of us when we lose sight. We can start getting real blessed and God starts blessing us and God blesses us. What happens to people when God starts blessing them financially? Pretty soon you don't see them in church anymore. Amen. They got blessed and now they got a boat instead of coming to church when the church doors are open or out on the river. They've been blessed of God and pretty soon they got a camper and there's nothing wrong with going out on the river boating. There's nothing wrong with going camping. But pretty soon the boating and the camping is where they're spending their time and God gets forsaken. And pretty soon they're camping with this crowd and they're camping with that crowd and they're boating with this crowd and they're boating with that crowd. And after a while you hear reports that they're out drinking and they're partying and they're having a time with these crowds that they've been hanging around. With great riches comes great responsibility. And great responsibility means that we need to be careful of who we surround ourselves with. Amen. And a friend of mine told me when I was young, he says, you want to be successful in life, young man? He said, you look at people who are successful in life and you do what they do. Mm-hmm. He said, you want to be rich? He said, you look at rich people and you do what rich people do. And you know, I want to be honest with you. Some of you guys know rich people and you don't know you know them. Because I know rich people. Some of the rich people I know are the cheapest people in the world. Amen. Used to be an old man, lived here in town. What was the old guy? Mr. Graham. And a fella asked him one time, said, Mr. Graham, you got all this money. I know the guy that asked him, he said, you got all this money. Why don't you just go buy this? And Mr. Graham was always, he's always in old clothes, always in work clothes, always doing stuff. And when something needed to be done, he didn't do it the easy way. He did it the hard way. It involved manual labor. The young man said, Mr. Graham, you got all that money. Why don't you just go do this? Why don't you just go buy this and do this and do that? Mr. Graham looked at him and said, how do you think I got all my money? Amen. Why do you think I have all my money? You want to be rich? You look at rich people and do what rich people do. And rich people are the cheapest people you ever run across. Amen. And that's how they stay rich. It's because they're cheap. They're not cheap. They're frugal. You might think of them as being cheap, but as being frugal. They know what it costs. You want to have a successful marriage? You look at people that have a successful relationship and you do what they do. My wife, any of you that know us, Bryson can tell you, but he's not allowed to tell anything. What happens at the pastor's house stays at the pastor's house. We aggravate one another all the time. But we love one another. Amen. Our love for each other is unfailing and undying, unwavering. is complete. You want a closer walk with God? Look at people that have a close walk with God and do what they do. You know what you'll find out most of the time? There are people that spend a lot of time talking to God. They pray to God. There are people that open up the Word of God because they want to hear from God. There are people that seek the face of God because they want to know the will of God. That's what makes them successful. You'll rise or fall to the level of the people that you choose to hang around. Choose role models that exemplify what God wants us to be as His people. God wants us to be prosperous. Amen. He told the children of Israel, and you know, we're part of the commonwealth of Israel because we've been grafted in. Amen. In case you didn't know that. Some people say, well, all that applies to Israel and that all that applies to him. Well, go back and read Romans. Romans says we're the wild vine that's been grafted in. We become a part of all the promises that are made to Israel. We're a part of all that through an inheritance that's been given to us because we've been grafted in. And God says he wanted his people to be prosperous. He didn't want them to be the borrowers. He wanted them to be the lenders. He didn't want them to be behind. He wanted them to be the forefront. He didn't want them to be the tail. He wanted them to be the head. Amen. Although I'd rather be the tail of a lion, I'd rather be the tail of the Lion of Judah than the head of a rat. Amen. Amen. Than the head of a skunk. Amen. I'd rather be a part of whatever Christ wants me to be than to be what the world thinks is so special. You'll rise or fall to the level that you choose to be. Choose to be what God wants you to be. He wants you to be blessed. Because he wants to pour his blessings out on you. And lastly, God does not overlook sin, no matter who we are. Amen? God loved Solomon. God chose Solomon. God gave Solomon that special name that God chose for him. But the Bible says in 1 Kings 11:11-14, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. Even though God loved Solomon, even though God had chosen Solomon, even though God had blessed Solomon, God couldn't ignore the sin of Solomon. And he won't ignore our sin either. You know, when we can grasp the reality of how much God really loves us, and God loves Solomon tremendously. If we can grasp the reality of how the blessings that we know and that we have are of God and how we could use them to his glory. If we could grasp the reality of what Solomon's life has taught us, it's taught us that everything apart from honoring God is vanity and vexation. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher. If you don't believe that, go back and read Ecclesiastes. Young person, take the time. Read it. See what Solomon found out. See what Solomon come to the conclusion of. after he had allowed everything that God had given him to draw him away from God. And he surrounded himself with vain and ungodly people. And it brought him down to a place where he didn't want to be. Solomon's life is a great lesson. He was a greatly blessed man. I would only wish that I could be blessed to the level that Solomon was. Wisdom more than any man. Wealth, prosperity more than any man. But I could only wish that I wouldn't allow it to draw me away from the God that gave it to me. So we stand our feet tonight, heads.